Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 126 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
I'm good. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, happy Halloween. But
happy
what we
Halloween.
Figured is that you guys are probably,
you probably aren't
so crazy. We are not doing a Halloween episode today because we figured very few of you will get a chance to listen until tomorrow. So happy November in that case.
Happy November. And wow, that means we're like really legitimately heading into like the winter and holiday season. This is getting crazy.
Yeah. November gets real. October's fun, kind of transitional. So we have a fun topic today. We're going to talk about cousins, the cousins our kids have, the cousins we grew up with, and kind of what that relationship means. And Megan, I'm going to lean heavily on you because you have a bountiful cousin situation going on your side.
I have a bounty of an abundance of cousins. I have cousins that I grew up with. I have cousins so much older than me that I never even met them. I have cousins I've never met. And then I've also got my kids. There are 16 children in the cousin realm, you know, including my five, so in my family, so
and all relatively the same age,
and plus John's sister has three, so more cousins over there. So yes, well, not all the same age, but enough close enough to the same ages that like they all know each other,
right?
There aren't huge gaps in age, so it's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. And then my side is much different, which we'll get into. But my kids have a brand new cousin. My sister had her baby.
So
we'll talk more about all of that today. And we're going to do a little segment at the very end featuring, I believe, one or two of your kids. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I'm hoping we may be able to even maybe get a cousin.
That would be awesome.
I'm holding out hope because I think that would be really cool. But if not, they can talk about their cousins.
Yeah, we got great feedback when I had Allegra on a few weeks back. And I know you guys love hearing from our kids, and we like putting our kids on the show. So listen all the way to the end and you will hear an assortment of Megan Francis's
cousin,
offspring.
Children, cousin, niece, nephew, whatever it is. Yeah.
A surprise pack. Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's three, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have two pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather, but please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like four times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
All right, so should we talk about cousins?
Let's talk about cousins. Let's talk about the tiniest cousin first. Can I go first?
Oh, absolutely. Please do, because I want to hear all about this little cousin.
I know. So my younger sister had her first baby about a week and a half ago now. So a little baby girl. And that is the first cousin on my side for my kids. And then on my husband's side, we just have one as well. So Brian's sister had a baby 3 years ago. Exactly. She just turned three. And they live all the way in Connecticut. So we talked about at the top of the show that you are cousin rich, your kids are cousin rich, and yes, we are like barely kind of just starting. And so
you're cousin minimalists.
Yes, we are. We're we're very
small
excited.
But mighty.
My kids are really excited for this new little cousin, and we've had a great time sort of cultivating the cousin thing with Brian's niece, our niece on that side as well, although I will say it's far. We have, they've only hung out maybe three times total in her 3 years of life, so yeah, it's a little different. Do you want to I would love to hear how you grew up with cousins. Like, how much were cousins a part of your growing up?
Okay. All right. So my dad was one. My mother was the oldest of five. My dad was the second youngest of five. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest of the second youngest siblings, children.
Right.
So by the time I came along, there were cousins on my dad's side that were legitimately adults, in their 20s.
Right.
I think I was born when my dad was 36. Mm-hmm. His oldest sibling would have been 46.
Right.
So there were, there was a wide array. And I honestly couldn't tell you how many I have, how many cousins I have on that side. I will say that, every sibling except for one had children, and most of them had large families. Several of them also had blended families.
Okay.
So then there were other sort of cousins thrown in later that I was never really clear who they belonged to, or, there was just a lot going on. So all told on my dad's side, I'm going to guess there were probably 12 first cousins.
Wow.
On my dad's side. And that doesn't include our family of four. That just includes his siblings.
Right.
And that might be a conservative figure, but I'm just going to go with it. And then on my mom's side, her sister Kay had five children. Her brother Bill had four.
Wow.
And I think that's it. My mom had a big family, but only two of her siblings actually had kids.
Okay.
And then her.
How many of these did you grow up seeing often?
So I grew up seeing my mom's, all of the cousins on my mom's side, I saw a lot. They all lived in Michigan.
Okay.
And several were up in the UP where I was. So I saw them, pretty regularly. It would kind of go in and out. The winters were rough up there. So during the winters, we wouldn't see the downstate cousins as much. We would still see the up north cousins because, when you're used to it, just the weather being terrible all the time, that does not stop you from seeing people. So I saw, four cousins up north maybe every 2 months. Right. And then the ones downstate maybe every 3 or 4 months. Definitely several times a year. And that really continued through most of my childhood. Then there was my dad's one sister who lived near enough that we could see the cousins, and she was the next youngest to him. We saw her kids a lot too. So that would be my cousin Molly and their family. I only really remember the youngest of that group though. It's so funny. There are all these kids and I'll see them at family reunions, and my dad's side of the family, they have this weird, they all look the same. And so, now not having seen cousins, sometimes since I was a child, when I do run into them just randomly and we happen to be like at my aunt's house at the same time, I'll be like, you're such a Francis. I mean, I just, you could be any one of my brothers. You could be my dad. Yeah. You could be any one of my uncles. We just all have this look. And yeah, they, the men really have this look. And so I lose track, honestly, of which ones of those I grew up seeing a lot. Those ones were probably more like once a year.
Right.
But I had a core group of like 10 cousins that I played with on a regular basis growing up. Regularly, and they were a regular part of my life. So I really grew up with cousins being a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. And then, you know, we've kind of created that here as adults. Now my sister is 10 years older than me, but her oldest, Mario, is not that much older. He's, let's see, he is 26 now, I want to say.
Okay. So you became an aunt when you were...
I became an aunt when I was young. Okay, so I was 13 when he was born, but that still tracks because he'll probably turn, I think he'll turn 27 this winter. And so, and so Jacob is not that much younger than him. Jacob will be 20 very soon. So they're not that big of an age difference. And then after that, Cecily or Aaron is a little bit like 3 years older than Jacob, 4 years older than Jacob. And then Cecily and Jacob are exactly 1 year apart.
Okay.
Then I had my kids. And then William, or my two oldest, and then William. And then a few years after William was born, Jack, my brother, that was John and Jenna's first. Jack was born like about a year and a half after Will. And then Owen was born the same year as Jack. And the year that Owen was born, every sibling in the household had, or every sibling in my family had a kid.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Jack was born in, I want to say, March. Then April was Quinn. Then July was Allie. My brother Buck's daughter, and then Owen was born in December. So he's a little younger, but like he was born, they were all in the same year. So there was a year we were all pregnant, and then there were years that we were all breastfeeding, like all at the same time. So every family gathering, there was just so much breastfeeding going on.
I feel like that would be really bonding as a mom to have your sisters and sisters-in-law be having kids at the same time. Like this is what I really like. This is the part where I do have a little bit of cousin envy of people. And this was the same for my growing up too. So, my mom is second of four girls, but she was the first to have kids by a long shot. So she got married young and had me young. And so even though she's not the oldest, she went first. And I was my first cousin on that side wasn't born until I was 8 and a half. She was born the same time as my sister, actually. So my sister and our cousin Elise are really close because they are exactly the same age. But I was 8 and a half. Like there was no one on that side cousin wise. And we also lived far. We moved from Oregon to California when I was 5. So we didn't see even when the cousins started to be born. We only saw them once a year, probably. They were much younger than me. And after that, Elise was born when I was like 8 and a half. Then it continued, but my aunts on that side continued having their babies until I was in college. So like you saying you had cousins who were adults, I was the adult. I think my last first cousin on that side was born when I was like a sophomore in college. So I was like 19. Yeah. And so those are, I don't know, they're people I feel really like cousin-y about, but we don't have the shared playing together growing up. My sister does a little bit with that one cousin that's her age, but still not as often because we live far away. And then on my dad's side, my dad has a twin sister and an older brother. They both had kids, but earlier. So on that side, all the cousins are older and we just don't see them very often. I actually just saw my first cousin on my dad's side at my sister's baby shower in Colorado, but I have probably seen her. We probably saw each other a couple times when we were little, like when I don't remember. And then one Thanksgiving when I was, I think Brian and I were probably engaged. So like, you know, 15 years ago. And then like a month ago. So it's like, it's like a once every 15 years. And I don't know, I feel really, there's something like still super connecting about the fact that you share grandparents, like your parents are siblings. I think especially as our parents get older, you know, your parents have passed on. Like there's like those family connections. Definitely. You share something with those first cousins for sure, because the lineage is there. But I have always felt a little sad is maybe not the right word, but just like I definitely feel like I missed out on the cousin experience that a lot of people have when they grow up regularly seeing with and playing with cousins who are the same age. And mine is sort of twofold. It's the geographical distance that we didn't see people, and then also the age difference on both sides. So
And I think that, you know, like my cousins that after I moved away, so my mom and I moved downstate and lived in the same town as many of my cousins, one whole family of cousins, five of them, for a while. And then I ended up moving to the other side of the state with my dad. And after that, I really didn't see them very much for years. And now they all have their own kids. And like, honestly, they're all having like tons of kids, just like our family's having tons of kids. I lose track now of how many kids. I think Carolyn listens to us. Hey, Carolyn. She is my second oldest cousin on that side. Okay. And honestly, there are so many kids in that family now, I've lost track. Just like I'm sure when we were all having kids at a rapid pace, they lost track of how many that we have. And so we don't hang out very often anymore, and we don't see each other very often. But I do think when we do get back together, there's just, because we're all related and there's that shared history, but I kind of feel like we'd have that anyway. I mean, even if, you know, we hadn't played together as much as we did when we were kids, we would still have that just recognition that we're from the same family and we share the same lineage and all that. So
when
even when I see my older cousins on my dad's side that I don't remember at all from my childhood, there's still that connection. Like, we still all seem very alike, even though we're all so different.
Isn't that,
no background together.
I think that's fascinating. And back to the grandparent thing for a second, was some of the time, like, did you have grandparents? Because the grandparent is obviously like the unifying, that's what you share with a first cousin. Do you have memories of being like in a grandparent's house or like under a grandparent's care with cousins? Because I think that's sort of like, that's where the memories start to overlap. I know on Brian's side, Brian's pretty close. He doesn't have a lot of cousins, but he is same age and pretty close with cousins on both sides. And it's really fun to hear them talk about their memories of their grandparents, because that's where the overlap really gets deep, you know?
Yeah, no, it very much is. I would say, so the only grandparent I share on that side, well, obviously there's only two on each side, right? So is our grandma, who is still alive. She's now 93 and really sharp and very active and has a lot of opinions. And in a lot of ways, like, grandma being around, and she lives with my Aunt Kay, who is the mother of the five, the biggest family on that side. And so, yeah, grandma has been a constant figure for them for very many years, and was for us before that a lot, because my grandma would visit us a lot when I was much, much younger. I don't really remember that as well. But, like, her stories and our stories about her definitely are very, you know, very much part of that experience of all of us knowing each other and all of us spending time together. So I definitely think there's some of that. And our parents too, you know, our parents all have stories and our parents grew up together, and that's their relationships also kind of end up by defining your relationship with your cousins. Like, where your parents choose to live defines how close you are with your cousins in some way, or if they like each other.
Yeah,
or
I was going to say how well they get along.
Yeah, how well they get along. I mean, that all ends up defining your cousin relationships. So, I think definitely there's part of that. On my dad's side, by the time I was born, my grandfather was no longer alive on that side. So my grandma on that side was Nana, and she was always. Where on my mom's side, my grandmother is very, like, down to earth and really part of it. She's just like kind of this scrappy woman who you think could, like, kick the crap out of anything. And then Nana was sort of much more matriarchal, and sort of everyone kind of doted on her. It was a very different, very, very, she was kind of regal.
Okay.
She was just kind of sit at the end of the table. She was the matriarch, and everyone would just bring her scotch, and, you know, you had to go bestow it. Like, you had to go to her so she could bestow a kiss upon you. You did not bestow a kiss upon her. It was very different. And now she was much, much older. So she lived into her 90s, but has been gone for 20 years now. So, very different relationships with her. And because of that, I do feel like there's a difference in the way the siblings relate to each other.
Yeah.
And then there's a difference in the way the cousins relate to each other. There just is. And it's, I can't put my finger on what it is. It's just they're like, the way the grandmother is determines the way the family will be.
I think that's
just really kind of cool.
I think that's very true. So my dad's mom died quite young. She was 56. And my dad was in dental school. So he was in his 20s. And so my mom never had a mother-in-law, like, never knew her mother-in-law, which means I never had a paternal grandmother. So my dad's mom was, you know, had died years before I was even born. And I do think that, and there's no negativity or bad blood or anything on that side of the family, but there was a missing matriarch. And that I do think my grandpa on that side was alive until I was about 8. But to connect the siblings who then connect the cousins, I do think that makes a difference. So I think that's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no-questions-asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we get back to cousin talk?
Cousin talk. Okay.
I think you had a question for me, didn't you?
Well, yeah,
you
know, I'm just that way. Okay. So your kids have a lot of cousins who, three at least, who live right in the same town and go to the same school. So
yes,
that's kind
which
of like
different.
This is the whole thing that I am kind of, that's foreign to me because like I said at the beginning, my kids right now have one cousin on each side. They both live out of state and they're both separated by several years age wise. So I'm curious how you've seen these cousin relationships develop over time. And if you feel like you guys had to do much to sort of encourage that bond or if it's natural. And then what happens when it's, you know, it's like siblings, they're going to fight, yeah, right? Or want to exclude each other. Or how has all that played out?
So I will just, let me just give you the setup here.
Yeah.
In this school, so just in this one cousin group, I'm not even going to talk about my two older teenagers because they're on the older end,
right?
But it goes, Will's in eighth grade, Jack, my brother's son is in seventh, Owen is in sixth. We have a family friend in fifth, whose kid's in fifth. Then, Ruby is in fourth. Claire is in third. I have another family friend in second, and then Luna is in first. So basically, the two grades that we don't have a cousin in between first and eighth, we have like these close family, yeah, friends who might as well be cousins.
Right.
But like there's a cousin occupying almost every grade. So
the teachers love you guys. They're like, oh, here they come.
I hope they love us. I think because we've lived here for so long, we moved to St. Joe when William was not even in kindergarten yet. Owen was three. Claire wasn't born yet. So the kids have really grown up together.
Yeah.
But they also get breaks because they're cousins.
Yeah.
They don't have to share a bedroom. They don't live,
yeah,
together. So there really haven't been, there hasn't been a lot of actual conflict. What I will say has been tricky is that their ages, none of their ages line up perfectly. So there has always been this push pull. Like William for a while was seeming old. He was pulling away from Jack and Owen, who were best buds. And then Jack got into middle school.
Yeah.
And Owen was still in elementary school. So Jack kind of started to kind of catch up with Will. And then Will and Jack did theater together. So then they became closer again. And now Owen, I think, is kind of struggling to catch up. And Luna has always been struggling to catch up. Poor girl. Like, she has been the baby of the baby. Like, just the babiest baby, because she's literally the youngest cousin, the youngest sibling. She's like the youngest of this whole St. Joe lineup. She just, and unfortunately, because Claire is the next youngest, like, Claire, Luna's the only one Clara can kind of crap on.
Yes. So she's,
so she does pretty hard sometimes. Yeah. And I have to really step in. And we've talked about that before, when we've talked about, you know, when to step in and when not to. And when it becomes kind of abusive, because Clara's like, well, everyone crapping on me, who can I crap on? That's Luna gets it. Luckily, Luna's very, like, good natured most of the time. She's just so eager that she becomes like that, like, puppy that was like slobbering all over you. Everyone's like, okay, enough. So I wouldn't say there's been a lot of outright conflict. I think where it becomes more management of, like, how much do I try to make sure my kids are still hanging out with their cousins who maybe they're at a, they're just not jiving with right now, and how much do I just let it ride? And I think that's going to be, honestly, when the girls are teenagers, I think is when it's going to be the biggest deal. Yeah. I don't think with the boy, I think that the boys will just figure it out. Like, they have no problem hanging out with younger and older siblings, and, or I mean, kids. And there's never really been a big issue. But I think when the girls, you know, you've got Ruby, who's very alpha and tough and older. And then you've got Clara, who's a people pleaser and in the middle and anxious and wants to make everyone happy, but also really wants to do her own thing. And then you've got Luna, who basically is like a party girl, actress, you know, life of the party, wants everyone to love her, clown.
Right.
And so when you've got those three together and they're like 16, 14 and 12 or however their ages are going to line up, they're not quite 2 years apart. That's kind of how the ages will go. I mean, that's when I think things are going to get maybe a little awkward.
And so, you guys, you and Jenna will probably just let it play out, right? Like, you're not going to force them to be friends.
No, I don't think we'll force them. Yeah. They'll still have to spend time together, because we spend time together. And but I just think the way it's worked with the boys is, like, when William was feeling a little older, he didn't have to come as often. Like, when we would do stuff, when I'd go take the little ones over there for dinner, he just didn't have to come every time. And if there was a birthday, like if there was a, I'm not a birthday party, they're always invited to birthday parties, but if there was like a sleepover and, you know, Owen was having a sleepover with Jack, William didn't always have to stay, or, you know, so it's like those things. But if he's having a party, like, the expectation is he's going to invite Jack, because that's an invitation you extend to your cousin.
Yeah.
And I will say with the boys, it's never that they don't want to hang out. I think sometimes it's just that they want to do other things more, or, like, you know, William might want to go to his buddy's house, and that's not going to include Owen and Jack this time.
Right. Right.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't want to hang out with Jack. It's just that he's got other stuff to do.
Yep. And I think there's some of this that is probably similar to sibling relationships, like, there's an expectation that we love each other and that we're around for each other. But as kids get older, there's just a natural sort of pulling away, and the cousin may not always be the coolest friend they have.
Right. The only reason it could be more tricky with cousins is because now you've got another set of parents.
Yeah.
So where you and your spouse might, or just you, might be completely in line with what you think about making, you know, how your siblings, how the your kids handle their siblings.
Right.
If you and your brother or sister aren't in alignment on that, then you might have more trouble. And I don't think that's going to be the case with us. I think we'll be able to figure it out. And even if there's some misunderstandings or whatever, I think it's not going to be a big deal in the end. But, like, that is something that makes it a little more complicated.
Yeah.
You just have more adults involved. And anytime more adults are involved in kid relationships, it becomes complicated.
No, I agree.
Because everybody has an opinion.
I mean, I don't have any of the experience you're talking about. But as you're talking, I'm thinking about the differences when you only see cousins once or twice a year. And I think as the adults, we get super excited, like, oh my gosh, here's your cousin. And the kids are like, I've never, like, met this kid.
I have
before.
No relationship.
Like,
with
I have
person.
No relationship. So I think it's probably a good lesson for all of the adults to remember, like, kids. I mean, what's interesting is we started this whole show talking about the way we feel about our cousins now as adults. And it's interesting that we both, you know, feel pretty warm and fuzzy about these relationships, even the ones that didn't have a whole lot of airtime, of playtime. So
maybe that offers a little bit of encouragement that we don't have to like orchestrate the relationship. The relationship is there because the biology is there and the family history is there, and how close they become, you know, is not really within our control.
Well, I didn't become close with my sister until I was in my later teen years.
Right.
Because she was 10 years older than me. And by the time I even remember her, she was moving out.
Yep.
So it's, you know, she was 16 years old and busy when I, like, the early, my earliest memories of her, I was 3, 4, 5, 6. She was busy. And then she was going to college and gone.
Yeah.
So we really didn't circle back around until I was much, much older. And, but that family history really did make a difference. I think creating opportunities for them to see each other will help that kind of stuff happen. But you can still have a close relationship with someone. When you have that background, you can still have a close relationship, even if you see them once every couple of years.
I totally agree.
Because it's really less about the time spent and more about the quality of it and the connection that you can't really replicate any other way.
Well, let's talk about that a little. I think in a few weeks, you and I are going to do, or I'm hoping to talk about long distance family relationships. But I think it would be fun to talk about that just for a few minutes now. And then we can go deeper into that in a future episode. But I do think that our family has some ways that we've tried to do this because my kid's first cousin on Brian's side, like I said, she just turned 3 and we only see them once a year. They live in New England. We live in Southern California. But the first simple way is that we just talk about family and family members a lot. Like, I really make an effort to make it part of regular conversation. We talk about, like, my kids know, they understand, like the family ties, like, you know, daddy's sister is Lindsay and Lindsay is married to Jeff and they have Madison. And that's because we make it a regular, when they send me, you know, if Lindsay texts me pictures of Madison, I show the kids and we talk about it and we watch the videos and we, you know, we don't actually FaceTime or Skype as much with them because of time zones and schedules and stuff. But between like showing pictures and just making those family ties a part of regular conversation over time, as my kids have gotten older, it does make a difference. Like my kid, you know, and it is hard that they only see that side of the family once a year, but it's not so hard that it's like you give up. Like we really don't, we really make it, the grandparents on that side are as like occupy the same sort of level of importance as the ones they see more often on the other side. So it's just, I think it takes effort. We do fun little things. Like I send Violet's hand-me-downs. A lot of the nice ones I send to our niece on Brian's side. For a big reason is that they get us really nice clothes. So they've gifted us really beautiful clothes to Allegra that then were passed down to Violet over the years. And it's really fun for me. Some of you know how kids like don't even wear stuff as often and then it's like in perfect condition. So I don't send them like sweats with holes in the knees, but I always pick a few things and it's not cheap to ship. Like it would be way cheaper to just buy her some cute outfits from the Gap and have them shipped. But they love getting that box and opening up and it's Violet's clothes that were worn by Allegra and now Madison gets to wear them. And we talk about the clothes and we talk about like, she'll send pictures and I'll say, oh, we wore that to this thing, you know? So I don't know. There's no like, it is not easy when they're far away, but then when we do get together, I feel like my kids very much know who their aunts and uncles and cousins are on that side. And hopefully as they get older, you know, then they have more of those trips to build on. You know, we do the Rhode Island trip with that side every other summer and they have memories of that now. They know what we do, you know, when we go with that side of the family. And Brian even has cousins who have kids now. So those are whatever, my kids' second and third cousins. But again, they're part of the family and we just try to keep it from slipping away. I don't know.
Yeah, no. And I'm looking forward to talking about that too, because I do think that there are probably some concrete things that I could be doing. Like my brother Buck lives in Minneapolis. We usually see them once a year, sometimes a little more, but the times that we've seen them more, it's been the adults, not the kids, that all get together.
Right.
So the cousins see each other about once a year and that's hard. And they're all very close in age. And so there are some ways like they've been able to sometimes play on Xbox Live or, go on the same, they like have each other's Instagram accounts, but it's not the same thing. And I think that there's probably some very, solid and concrete ways that we could nurture that those relationships more. But I also, when you were talking about going to Rhode Island, one thing I was thinking about was, you know, those trips will even start to change. When your kids are, instead of the ages they are now, when like say Allegra's 14, think about how much more freedom she'll yes. have to hang with her cousin. And how old yeah. is the cousin out there?
She's cousins? 3 now. So she, okay. the age difference is 6 years between Allegra to her and only a couple yeah. years with Violet.
Yeah. So it'll be more like, then it'll probably be more like a Violet thing.
Yeah. And, but Violet, yeah.
But yeah. like they'll be able to like go off together and do stuff. And that's when yeah. it starts to get, when they get that freedom a little bit and they can yep. have like share some space and time and not have the parents breathing down their necks. Because even if we're not literally breathing down their necks, we're still on a schedule. We're yep. still doing this or that. And it's more about the adults telling the kids what to do. And when it becomes more about the kids having some freedom, I do think that it just becomes easier to yeah. have those connections.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something. But I do want to get more into that, like the distant.
I think that would be a fun episode. We recently posted a call for topics, and you guys on Instagram, like, I don't know how many comments we got, but many, many, many. And it's fun to see the patterns. And there were several requests for, actually, cousins were one of the requests, but grandparents, okay. in-laws, and then roped into all that long distance family, how to handle it when family doesn't necessarily get along. Like, it's a whole, this extended family thing, there's like 10 episodes probably in there that we can do. I think this is a good place to wrap up for now. I would love to hear from our listeners and how you handle this. Again, I feel like Sarah's the one with cousin envy here. I have cousin envy about my own growing up cousins and for my kids. So it's really fun to see how different families are handling cousin
relationships. And remember that, you know, there's always flip sides to every coin, and with great cousin abundance comes great cousin responsibility. It does. And it just changes things. It's just different. It's not better yeah. or worse.
Yeah. Yes. That's a great point. And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to hearing your kids talk about their cousins
yes,
or whoever we decide to feature at the end yeah. of the show. So stay with us, listeners. Listen all the way to the end for that fun segment. And then check out the show notes at themomhour.com and check out our sponsors, who we will link to in the show notes. And yeah, we will be back with you guys next week.
Sounds good. Hey everyone. So as promised, I am doing a little segment with two of my kids where we're going to talk about cousins in our lives. And the way I'm setting this up is I've got a short list of questions that I'm going to ask first Owen, who's hanging out with me right now, and then later Clara. And some of them are going to be like kind of hot seat, you know, they're going to get the answers right or not. And some of them will be a little more essay style. So, hey Owen, glad to have you on the show.
Hey, I'm Owen.
That you are. Okay. So Owen, I'm just going to ask you these questions one after the other. There's 6 questions. There are no right or wrong answers. Actually, that's true. There are wrong answers. So you are going to be quizzed on this. Okay. So here we go. Owen, how many cousins do you have?
Okay. Quinn, Jack, Ruby, Luna, Allie, Mari, Harry, Mario, Cecily. I mean, 9 that I know of.
And then what about your other cousins? You've got cousins on Dad's side too.
Oh yeah. And then Maddie, hey, Hugh and Henry, and that's it.
So how many is that?
11.
Correct answer is 14. So you've got Aunt Kelly and Uncle Buck's family, that's 4. Aunt Catherine's family, that's 4. So we're up to 8 already. Uncle John's family, that's 3. So we're up to 11. And then Aunt Beth's family is another 3. So that's 14.
Well, I guess I don't know that much about my...
Well, you do. Okay, so here's a quick one. Who is your oldest cousin?
Mario.
Yes. Who's your youngest cousin?
Hugh or Henry.
You don't know which one was born first, so they're twins.
Henry is young.
I'll have to check that with Aunt Beth and see if that's true. Okay, which of your cousins live the farthest away?
Harry in Minnesota.
That's true. All right, these ones are a little easier. What's your favorite thing about having cousins?
You can, like, joke around with them, and they can't ditch you. Like,
they're like, forced to be your friends?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. And what is your least favorite thing about having cousins?
Sometimes we get mixed up, and that's not fun.
You mean like people don't know who you are and they think that you belong to the wrong family?
Well, like, they keep thinking that I, like, am brothers with Jack and that can get weird. And at certain points, you just have to tell them and just stop playing along with it.
All right. Anything else to say about your cousins or having cousins or cousins in general?
Just don't be mean unless they deserve it.
Don't be mean unless they deserve it. Very wise and compassionate words from Owen. Well, thanks for being on the Mom Hour, Owen.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. And now I'm here with Clara. Clara, thank you for coming on the Mom Hour.
Okay. So what's the first question?
Okay. So, you know, I'm going to be asking you questions about cousins and you seem really nervous. Like maybe you're going to get the answers wrong.
Yeah. But...
Well, stop looking. You can't look. So, okay. First question. How many cousins do you have?
My answer is a lot.
You can just make a guess.
The answer is a lot.
The answer is just a lot?
Yes, it is. I don't know. There's probably like more than seven.
There are more than seven. Would it surprise you to know that you have 14 cousins?
Oh. Well, that's new.
It's not new. You've had 14 cousins for a while now. So you've got Uncle Buck's family, Uncle John's family, Aunt Catherine's family, and Aunt Beth's family. It's a lot of cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who is your oldest cousin?
Mario.
Mario is your oldest cousin. Good job. Who's your youngest cousin?
Hugh and Henry.
True. They're twins. This is a trick question. Do you know which one's older?
I think Henry is.
Is older?
Yes.
So then Hugh would be your youngest cousin. Yes. Which cousins live farthest away?
Is it Mari and Allie?
Yep, Mari and Allie and Harry and Elizabeth. They live in Minnesota. What's your favorite thing about having cousins?
I don't know. Well, Ruby and Luna live really close, so I get to go to their house almost every day. So.
That's true, and that's fun, huh? What's your least favorite thing? Your least favorite thing about having cousins? Speak up so we can hear you.
Well, a bad thing about having cousins that live right next to you is sometimes that you don't want to go, but then you have to, so.
So it's like two sides of the same coin. It's like you get to go play with them, but sometimes you have to go play with them and you'd rather not.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about cousins?
No.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Your cousins have been a big part of your life. That's all you have to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Clara, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
You can say bye to all the listeners.
Okay, bye-bye.
Guess what, Megan? Over 10,000 teens are already using our sponsor, Erica, to help them unplug.
That is amazing. Erica, that's Erica with a K, is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug whenever they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance. It's so cool how this works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Yeah, you know, teens really get that social media comes with risks, including addiction, and Erica helps them build healthy habits and self-regulation that will benefit them their whole lives. Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code TheMomHour. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code TheMomHour to save 20%.
Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Tea's Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Tea's Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Tea's Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts, or head to theteasmade.com to find all the episodes.